listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We're in week two of
Revenge Month.
Dun, dun, dun.
Matt, before we get to your pick, Guido, what did you think of that yoga kill in the movie I showed you?
I thought it was spectacular, almost deserving of an entire movie around it.
I agree.
So how would I describe it? Okay.
So this movie's called In a Violent Nature. It's on Shudder. It's got a lot of traction this year because people are like, it's revolutionary because it's like the eyes of the killer. It's like, that's not revolutionary, but that's fine. The acting is god awful.
Yeah, because yeah. I feel like
that's par for the course.
When you were trying to explain it to me, and you're like, it's from the killer's perspective, and I'm like, oh, so it's like that movie,
Peeping Tom.
No, that movie that you showed me, Guido, Hardcore Henry. I thought it was like where it's like literally from the eyes of.
No, so in this one, it's literally like most of the movie is we are literally watching the killer walk. A lot of it is walking through the woods, and the camera is behind the killer, basically. Yeah.
So like you are in the killer's shoes.
It's like
being John
like,
Malkovich.
It's like a documentary from behind the killer, basically.
So it's like playing a third-person video game.
Yes.
Where your character is right there.
And okay, there we go. So I kept hearing about how, like, the kill scenes were great. Because when I watched it, I was like, this is kind of boring. It's a lot of walking. And he doesn't run. So it's a lot of walking.
He's also not a talker.
Is it walking?
There's no sand, though.
I was about to ask. So. I was like, oh, shit.
That's good.
It's not walking in a desert or a sand or a western, but it is walking in the woods.
Oh, so, I like the woods.
Okay. She likes the woods.
There's lots of things to look at.
It's wonderful. I also saw someone that was like,
trees.
If you need to work out today, just get on your treadmill, put on In a Violent Nature, and just work out with the killer while you walk in the woods. It's
absolutely.
Be great.
I mean, you're going to be moving at a quicker pace than he is.
Yes. But people kept talking about the yoga scene kill. And so
it was spectacular.
I was half watching, and then when I saw the girl doing yoga, I was like, oh, here we go. I'm going to get ready. And it surpassed my expectations. We do not see a kill like this. I don't think I've ever seen a kill like this in a horror movie, and I watch a lot of horror.
She's very flexible.
Absolutely.
Do you want to try to describe the yoga kill scene?
So
this
guy
spoiler
alert.
Fuck, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, calm down.
Are you going to?
No.
Then shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You'll just look up a clip. After they describe
take
it, you'll look up a
take
clip.
Take a namaste and just, you know.
A woosa.
A woosa.
What's that mean?
Chill.
Woosa. So he's got like, I would say a good 8 feet of heavy duty chain and a huge hook on the end of it. And he just punches the hook curve side, okay? Punches the hook through this woman's back, out her front. Like, he pushes the plug of meat out.
Uh-huh.
And then he pulls the hook forward and then stabs that into the top of her head. And then he just now he starts pulling the chain with his foot on her back, breaking her neck, separating the head from the neck, and then pulls the head out through her abdomen, like right through her back, slowly.
Awesome.
For our listeners, I mean, yes, I know, again, we're an audio podcast, not a visual one. I really appreciated Allie over there doing like the ESL. Like the sign, like she's like demonstrating while he's describing it.
Like, help me stay on track.
Well, you know, it was a pretty violent death. I don't know if it was as violent as some of the deaths we're about to talk about on today's episode, though.
Oh, well, I mean, they're not deaths, but there are some
deaths.
They're talking about.
Yeah, dude, he kills a bunch of people.
People die, not in this very, you know,
the very first scene.
I will try to do hand motions for your deaths, but I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
Okay.
So, oh, I can't wait to watch this. Dinner and a show.
Watch your eyeballs.
It's
she's
like
gonna
medieval
whack
times.
You.
It's like that dinner theater I went to one time. It was a murder mystery. Brady Bunch murder mystery dinner theater.
Did anyone put a piece of chicken or turkey skin on their face?
It was Jan Brady.
You guys know how I am with cringe. I went with Tegan.
This was Jan Brady, I bet.
This was literally one of the hardest nights of my life.
It was hard to watch.
I kept just going like, I need to leave. I need to leave. I need to get out of here. They were in the audience. They were moving around, talking to people. I'm like, I need to go. I can't do this. Like, it's why I could never go see Cats.
Because were you involved?
When you go see Cats, like, they come into the audience. They sit on your lap and shit like that.
That's weird.
Yes,
I don't want that.
Audience participant.
I've seen Cats.
I
Do they show them? Do
they? They were wearing horrible wigs.
Can I pay extra so they don't do that?
Did they show you their buttholes in the musical version or just the movie?
No, there's an unedited butthole version and a butthole.
Release the butthole cut.
Release the butthole cut.
Are these buttholes bleached? Because I only want to see the white ones.
No, you get this. You have to see.
I'm sure Dame Judi Dench's butthole is bleached.
Only the pink and white ones.
You have to see Idris Elba's before you can get the Dame Judi.
No Dench. Brown on white buttholes.
Well, Matt, tell us about your revenge movie pick.
Okay, as I mentioned last week, my movie came out in 2011. It had an estimated budget of $6 million. I didn't do the currency exchange for Korean money is. It made, I couldn't tell if it was the worldwide gross or if it was just even the U.S. gross, but it made $13 million USD, so it, you know, it doubled its money.
It's a South Korean won, W-O-N, won.
Won.
Won?
And apparently the current conversion rate is 1 South Korean won is 76 cents in the United States.
Oh, it's pretty close, not bad.
But and it also has a Rotten Tomato score of 87%. Again, my movie is I Saw the Devil.
Amazing.
I can't wait to see if you get a clip of the trailer.
Is it like just, the sign?
It's really tough.
It's just,
I saw the sign.
It's just everyone speaking.
Can I just put I Saw the Sign in as the trailer?
No. You just gotta have all the people speaking in Korean and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What's the sound
they
like?
Have a trailer on IMDb.
I know, but it's all going to be in Korean.
Oh, great.
It'll just be, you know, no, I can't. We'll get canceled.
We'll get canceled.
I'll dub some with you.
Oh, my gosh. You're gonna read?
Can I just...
In a word.
Can I just put, like, Gangnam Style in instead?
Yeah,
is he Korean? He's South Korean, right?
Yeah, he's okay, South cool. Korean.
I'll be the girl. Please stop hitting me with a hammer, sir.
I Saw the Devil is just another fantastic example of how unapologetic Korean films are.
Absolutely vicious. Ultra violent. One of the best pieces of revenge cinema of all time.
All right, let's go around the room. Have you seen this movie? What were your thoughts about my pick? Allie.
I have seen it, but it was literally like less than a year ago that I watched it for the first time. And I remember we both were interested in it because we were watching like a list of really great scenes in horror movies. It's one of those lists I watch every year on Halloween mm-hmm. because I love listicles like that.
Well, she just took my bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nah, it's
listicle? Oh. What type of bread are you?
So we were watching this list and it was like 100 greatest horror movie scenes, not horror movies, just scenes in horror movies, and this was in like the top 20, and I had never heard of this movie, and then they showed the scene and I was like, this is graphic. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to watch it and it was graphic, so yeah, I was excited to watch it again, and I like you know, Korea puts out some great horror movies and stuff like this, so I was excited to watch it again. Yeah,
like anybody that's ever like just been putting it, you know, anybody that's been putting it off like watching like foreign films just because you have to read.
Some of the best horror comes out of Asian countries, like mm-hmm.
Parasite.
J-horror, K-horror is all
Parasite
good.
Parasite wasn't horror.
What do you mean? Straight in the name.
I don't know. When that fucking thing comes out of the basement, that scene is very scary.
The guy?
Yeah, but it was just scary.
Mr. Park!
Yeah. But
respect!
Yeah. Asian horror movies, French horror movies, like, you can't just because you got to read, you just got to deal with it. Like, yeah. They're putting out some good shit over there.
I mean,
there.
Or if you
That
wanna...
one you guys talked about on Netflix, the really scary one where the thing comes out of the back of the girl's head.
The Grudge? Mm-hmm.
What was that one?
No.
Malignant? No.
No, I forget. Comedy. I forget what it was.
It was out of like Sri Lanka or India or
something. Oh, it was
like,
so
no,
good.
It was Cambodia or something like that. But there was that jump scare where it's like you think it's the back of the girl's head, but it's like really the hairs over her face, and then it's like blah, and it comes out like really fast. It's scary.
So like Malignant.
Sure, like Malignant. You're welcome, by the way, for that.
All right, Tammy, what were your thoughts?
I had not seen it. I mean, I passed the last Korean film with the main character that is in this movie.
Oh, that's right.
I passed it, so I was interested in... I gave it a chance. I didn't realize that you chose a foreign film for your choice until we sat down to watch it. So I was like, okay, I gotta read.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, Guido.
You know, I feel like I've seen this movie spiritually.
Spiritually?
Because I saw Old Boy. But, you know.
It's nothing like Old Boy.
You know.
There's Hammer Murder.
Has the same guy in it.
It's graphically murdery.
Dude, had I known we were going to start doing theme months and one of them was going to be revenge.
You could have done Old Boy.
Old Boy would have been.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
It's kind of the ultimate revenge movie. Yeah.
Sidebar, like, we all chose not the obvious revenge movies. We all did pretty good this month, just saying.
Yeah, because I feel like we said on the last episode, like, John Wick is an obvious revenge movie.
It's or right
Taken.
There. Or
Taken is
Taken,
a big
in
one.
My opinion, is a kind of obvious
Kill Bill
revenge movie.
Is Kill the Bill's revenge movie.
A very obvious revenge. Or I literally was almost going to change it to a movie called Revenge.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Which is great. But I was like, that's a little too
Wait, we did not
Where
be on the nose, guys.
Like, I did Man on Fire. I did Carrie is a revenge movie.
Man on Fire made me cry, and I don't want to watch it again.
Oh, God.
Carrie's not a revenge movie. Carrie's a period piece. Thank you,
cute.
Fleabag.
Thank you, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Very cute.
Very cutesy. Very demure.
So, yeah, I saw The Devil. It was, and again, as I always say with foreign movies, apologies for my Yankee pronunciations. So
Yankee?
Well, you know, American.
Yes, I got
it. It was directed by Kim Ji-won. He's known for this. The Good, the Bad, the Weird.
I almost saw that one.
A Tale of Two Sisters.
Ooh, that's a great movie.
And he also directed one of Arnie's most recent films, The Last Stand.
A Tale of Two Sisters is the original Korean version. They remade it in America, and it had like Elizabeth Banks in it and David Strathairn, and like it has the girl from what's that terrible movie?
Urban Legend.
No, that
too
movie
soon,
that,
too
what's
soon.
His, that what's his name did from 300 with the girls and the Sucker Punch.
Cersei?
That Zach movie Snyder. Was dog shit.
The main girl in Sucker Punch is in the American version of The Tale of Two Sisters.
She's cute.
But
that
cute.
Movie sucked.
I still hate My Cousin Josh for waking me up during that movie. So again, yeah, it was directed by Kim Ji-won. It was also written by Kim Ji-won. And it was also co-written by Park Hoon-jung. It's starring Lee Byung-hun, known for this.
He was in Soul Brothers.
He was in Terminator Genesis, another shitty Arnold movie, and brought to my attention while we were watching this by our co-host here, Guido. He let me know that he was in the G.I. Joe movies.
The Rise of the Cobra one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the Channing Tatum ones.
Like the Channing Tatum ones.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah. Like,
it's awesome.
He's not the guy from Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, like at first I was saying the same thing that you were. I thought it was the Crazy Rich Asians guy / like the guy from The Gentleman.
But the Crazy Rich Asians guy is in G.I. Joe movies, but they're not the ones with Channing Tatum.
I feel like you need to treat yourself to a G.I. Joe movie.
I feel like I don't, but I appreciate you trying to say that.
It's full of buff dudes.
I love that journey for you, but not for me.
Are they chopping wood?
Are they? Yes.
Well, they
there's a Marvel movie where
like throwing,
Captain America is
like
just ripping
to,
wood
like,
apart.
Really fastly pave a road.
They're ninjas.
They're throwing ninja
they're
stars. They have
ninjas.
Swords.
They're ninjas with swords. I'm
there's
sure
lots of guns.
I'm sure they're chopping wood. In
Isn't
that.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that?
Lots
movie?
Of explosions.
Are they shirtless doing outdoor labor?
When they fight each other, sometimes they are shirtless.
Ooh.
It's also starring Choi Min-sik, who's known for this. He was in an American movie. He was in the god-awful Scarlett Johansson movie, Lucy.
It wasn't a bad movie. Dude.
I think I brought that up the last time we saw one of this guy's movies.
I don't remember you saying that.
This is a throwback to our second episode. He was in Old Boy, as we talked about earlier.
Wow, that was our second one. That's wild.
Oh, yeah, it was your first pick from
it was,
the pod.
It was my first pick.
Odaisu.
We should have a month where we just do our first movie picks again. Then you guys can all watch Return to Oz again. And then we could maybe like your...
Pump
your,
the brakes.
Maybe
pump,
your,
pump
maybe
the brakes.
Your thoughts have changed about it.
Yeah,
no way. Not possible.
All right. So my movie starts on a like desolate, snowy road in South Korea with like a cab / like bus driver going down an isolated road. and discovers a woman. Her name, is, we find out later, is Julian. She's sitting there. She's got a flat tire. He gets out of the car. He offers.
She looks pretty thin.
He offers. He offers assistance, but clearly she just watched Urban Legend and she declined his help.
Well,
she
that said, is what you're supposed to do.
She said, no, thank you. She's also on the phone with her fiancé, who is, we find out, is the lead character. His name is Soo-hyun.
He's hot.
He is.
I mean, if
very anything, good looking.
I don't know. Should I just call him like G.I. Joe the whole time?
No, what were you calling him?
Oh, no, yeah, that's
CIA.
Right. Well, no, let me get to that.
Yeah.
It turns out the other male, the guy that offers assistance, is our other lead. His name in this movie is Jang Kun-chul.
Oh.
That's Odaisu. And he doesn't like taking no for an answer. He comes back with a hatchet and starts smashing through her windshield and her window.
This is the scene that was on that list, like this opening scene.
He's just like... It just comes out of, she's like, why isn't he moving? And then he just out of nowhere just brah, duh,
this
duh.
Is I mean
savagely.
I'm just he's
like
I mean,
wild swings.
Women have a lot of worse nightmares, but this is a worse nightmare. Like, yeah, hey, you've broken sure. down, you're waiting on AAA, it's snowing, and then someone randomly says, do you need help? She does the smart thing and says, no, I will wait, which is what you're supposed to do, whereas most women probably be like, oh my God, thank you so much. I
think
would.
More women should be trained to use firearms.
And then even her saying no, and he still attacks her.
Yeah, and good on, she didn't even put the window all the way down. She's not dumb.
Yeah,
I mean,
she was very smart
She's just
about
unlucky.
It.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, he smashed the window.
It's so.
Yes, it's I mean, unlucky
it's
that
so
that happened to her.
But also just, I mean, not to be like, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's doubly terrifying for, but like, I'd be fucking terrified if
yeah.
that happened to me, and I'm not a woman.
Yeah.
It's terrifying for everybody.
I mean,
it's terrifying for everyone, yeah.
He came out of nowhere and just smashed her windshield.
Yeah, he comes out, like I said, comes out of nowhere with a hatchet and just smashes through the windshield and then starts braining her with said hatchet.
Oh my God.
Again, there were a lot of
this
swings.
This was such an incredibly graphic scene for me.
It's really graphic.
Again, like, buckle up, assholes. This is just the first five minutes of the movie.
This is the first 5 minutes,
it's just,
man.
Duh, duh, duh.
Yeah.
It was brutal murder.
And it's there's so much blood.
You feel the weight
and
of the hammer.
And then you also have like the contrast of the white snow, mm-hmm. so it's like, it's one of those things where it's like pretty to watch and then also horrifying.
Blood on the
and
leaves.
And you see every blow.
Oh, every.
You hear
oh,
every
the
blow.
The noise
and
is awful.
It's got good murder ASMR.
I feel like it sounded realistic also.
Very.
Like it wasn't in other horror movies where it's like a loud bang sound. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't seem.
It sounded like metal hitting bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her head is like. Clearly got weight, like the mannequin or whatever they're using is very lifelike.
Yeah.
I mean, and it reacts realistically.
Surprising both for how low the budget was.
Being
I mean,
hit by something heavy.
Are always going to have a low budget, but.
How many strange, you know, homeless people did they go through during the making of this movie? Any wanderers? How many?
They just got, they just used all the defectors from North Korea.
Oh God.
They were just like, hey, you want a better life?
So small.
Oh, well, guess what, guys?
Sorry, we're going to use you as a
We need gallons and gallons of blood for
so,
this movie.
Yeah, after you think she gets her head smashed in, the opening title rolls, I saw the devil. And now we see boobs.
Yeah, decapititties.
Oh, yeah, we do
no,
see boobs.
They're not decapititties yet.
Not
they're
yet.
They're just cold titties.
She's no, she's
they're
not
sad
she's
titties
alive.
For sure.
They're definitely sad.
No, she's alive.
She's plastic bag. Those are plastic bag
okay,
titties.
Okay, so they're battered titties.
Those
beer
are
battered bitch tits.
Beer battered bitch
nah,
tits.
No, it looks like he was going to sous vide her or something.
Title of the episode.
Those are
no,
sous-
not going to do that.
Those are sous vide titties.
Sous vide titties?
He's got her in the plastic bag. He's going to just.
They're artisanal.
Is he going to slow cook them?
Hannibal Lecter would love those.
And since, you know, Zhang, and also I realized this at the end of, like, at the end of watching the movie, and now I feel terrible because, you know, over in Korea, they go by, like, the last name first, so I should have been like Kung Chul the whole time.
Oh, is Zhang his last name? Or is
well,
his
no,
name?
Zhang is his first name, but
oh, okay.
They over there they go last name first. If it,
but that's backwards
for equivalent, it would be like Salomeo Guido.
Yeah,
whoa,
too much personal information. I'm sorry,
whoa,
or it would be like Lindsay Matthew.
Yeah,
you
there
true
you go.
First name, motherfucker.
Yeah,
firsty, firsty,
weird because we see boobs. and she's in a plastic bag because Zhang has taken Zhu Yan to his murder fuck pad.
That's right. He likes to give them pleasure before he gives them the death.
She starts begging for her life, and she tries. She's like, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And she tries to garner sympathy by telling Zhang she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. What does he do? He grabs a big old knife and just, bah, cuts her head off.
The Korean word for boob is gasum, just to let you know.
Oh, sad gasums.
Can you look up dismembered gasum?
No.
So
we're going to have to stick with decapitity.
I'll look up sous vide titties in Korean.
He chops her up, and as we just said, we see dismembered titties.
Oh, no.
And
the saddest of titties.
It's a waste.
And
they're actually quite perky.
Well, she's like 20.
And then it cuts to a drain that is way too small for Andy Dufresne to fit in.
Oh, no.
And blood just starts pouring out of it. After the fiance is announced missing and we find her dismembered corpse, it's like a whole, like, you know, missing person thing. You see it in all the, any of the cop procedurals or movies you've seen before.
They find her head. Her head floating.
Like the guy, yeah, he's just poking it. He's like, and then all of a sudden, bloop,
and turns around. So like in the SVU episode with Yates, and they find all the dismembered people on the beach in New York.
There was a crab living in it.
It was almost like in Willy Wonka when that factory worker found the golden ticket. And then they ran head into the box, and then all the reporters ran after them.
And then
dropped the box on her head rolled out.
And Slughorn showed up. And
was one of those reporters Jared Leto, you know, because he almost lost his career.
It's not very good.
From a college newspaper.
He's now slumming it in Korea.
Now everybody knows the recipe for the everlasting gobstopper.
Need to make those.
And we find the dismembered corpse. We find out that Su Yun, the fiance, he just isn't some straight-laced business nerd.
No, he's a snack.
Oh, because we see him just in
a Korean snack.
We see him in like a suit, so we just think he's like some uptight like trader or stockbroker or something like that.
That's what I thought originally. Like I remember when we first watched this. Also, we bought that gochujang, and we now have two things of gochujang, and we didn't bring the gochujang out when we had our dinner tonight.
Gochujang, 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 gochujang.
Now we have two things of gochujang that we've never opened.
Say gochujang again.
I'm gonna look up. Next time I go to the
crack again
to the to the Asian supermarket over
that's exactly
by
what I was going for
in Christiana.
Yeah. Why does it gotta be Asian, dude?
Because that's what it's called.
It is. It's an Asian supermarket.
Oh, okay.
It when you like get on 95. It's called like Wong.
Yeah.
What's it called? Wong's?
Wong.
This is too much. This is really on the nose.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get some Firkin style beef ribs. That's what they call it.
Firkin.
I want Merkin style.
Ew.
I want Merkin jerky.
Yeah, they're those beef ribs that are thinly sliced, and they're like cut horizontally, like with the bone still in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to try and make Korean
beef. You put ribs. It in the soups.
So yeah, we find out that he's not some business. He's a top secret agent in the South Korean intelligence. Yeah, when we were watching it together, I kept calling him Korean.
Secret Asian man?
No, God, no.
Oh my God.
I kept calling him Korean James Bond /
yes,
Jason
that's what
Bourne.
It was.
He now vows revenge on whoever killed his fiance.
Who would have thought that by the theme of the month?
He now vows to go on a revenge hunt to find the guy that did this. We also find out that her dad is a police chief.
He's kind of a big deal.
Of a local precinct.
Is her dad also her lover?
No.
Oh, different Korean movie. Sorry.
This movie and another movie that I want to watch soon called The Chaser are loosely based on murders, like actual murders committed by the serial killer Yoo Young-shul, also called the Raincoat Killer, who had a rampage from 2003 to 2004 in South Korea.
Is he still alive?
I have no idea.
Is he still in jail? Because they don't sentence people to jail for as long as they do over here.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
I read this one story about this guy. He was Japanese, and he ate people.
Yeah, all right.
And he is...
some people
he
are served, tastier.
He is now free. Like, he served maybe like 10 years, and then they let him out.
Well, hell, they let Varg Vikernes out in Norway.
Oh, that guy that killed all those people? That's because in Norway they have a... sentencing maximum. You can't sentence people over a certain amount of years, even if they've killed like 50 fucking people.
What?
Wait a second. So if I want to do my murderings, I got to go where?
They don't have the Norway. Death penalty. This guy killed like
children. No. Varg Vikernes is another guy. He was the, like, the subgenre of black metal, that movie that like the Culkin kid was
in.
He's the guy that stabbed the Culkin kid in the movie.
Mm. No, but there was like, that based guy on who, real like, life. Shot up a school over there. Oh, yeah. And they only sentenced him to 20 years because that's the max they can do over there.
Makes you want that death penalty, huh?
Their prisons. No, I don't believe in that. Their prisons also look like, you know, Marriott suites.
I believe the death penalty. Oh, yeah.
Korean James Bond. He takes some time off from work.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
And his buddy in the Q department, I'm assuming this is like Asian Q.
Oh.
Gives him a tracking device equipped with a microphone. It's like a.
You come with a leather boa? Like,
is it the size of the tracking device as an Escape from New York?
No.
Very important question.
It's smaller than the one in Total Recall, the one that shoots up into Arnold's nose.
Oh my god, that horrible scene. Total Recall.
But this is like kind of like the same thing. It's this big old, it looks like a big old pill. That he swallows.
It's a red pill.
And you can also, it's also a microphone.
It's not double injected into his neck like
no,
Snake.
No, not like Snake.
He can hear all the tummy gurgles.
Ooh.
It's like laying next to Tammy in bed after she eats dinner.
I have a very healthy digestive system. What
that's good.
We're just trying to watch
it's all
movie,
that Activia yogurt.
And all I hear is
that my mom tells me to eat.
And I mean,
everybody my secret.
I mean, I know technically he's not his father-in-law, but that's just what I kind of call him in this movie. The fiance's dad, so like his father-in-law. The father-in-law gives him a list of suspects who have committed similar crimes, who are like the people that are violent offenders that they think might have done this. Korean James Bond now goes down the list, taking names, twisting dicks, and breaking balls. Literally.
Yep.
Twisting dicks?
Twist his fucking dick off!
He did. God.
Give the old dick twist!
Remember that one guy? He goes in while the dude's like just sitting there whacking it, watching porn.
Yeah, in his underpants.
We see more titties, not sad
Isn't
titties.
It blurred, though?
No, the titties aren't blurred.
But the penetration is. They blur the penetration.
And her
over
hand,
there.
Apparently, up there is, because I guess it was like a
three-way?
Side. Yeah.
Nice.
That was
a three-way cool. Is called a freak-off, according to P. Diddy's lawyer.
Yeah, we see more titties, and hell, we even see a balloon nut, because...
butthole?
Yeah.
That's a butthole for you.
Korean James Bond cuts the power to the guy, and he's, like, mid-stroke. He stands up, and it's showing him
stand... Name of the episode.
Balloon nut
Korean, Korean balloon nuts.
We see him stand up because he's like, what happened? And he's not wearing any pants.
But nope. You actually see his butthole.
Yeah, no. It flares.
If you're standing up, it winked at me. If you're standing up, you can't see someone's butthole. You have to like bend over and spread your cheeks.
I don't know. Have you seen an Asian over. Man's butt?
No, he was pulling up his.
There's not a lot of butt. I'm just saying.
I mean, you have to like actively look for.
Well, he was so half squat.
Korean James Bond just comes in there and starts beating the shit out of him, ties him up, and he's like, did you do this? And he's like, oh, and then he just brings out a monkey wrench and starts beating him in the dick. He's just like,
yeah.
Bam!
He beat his dick off.
Meanwhile, all this is happening, our other, you know, literally our only other protagonist in this movie, Young, is out and about just kidnapping and killing. And also playing a Korean version of House of the Rising Sun in his fuck pad.
He's not a protagonist. He's an antagonist.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yep. Okay.
I mean, he's cutting pieces off.
Other
he's character. A bad guy.
Other character, I should say.
He's
sorry,
a bad guy.
But he's not eating them.
Of course, due to linear story progression, Sue now finds Jong's murder fuck shack. And then he looks down into the sewer grate in this fuck shack and finds Zhu Young's ring. And oh, shit, this is the guy. Oh my god!
He did the murder!
So, just as this happens,
oh my dick.
The regular police who interviewed the guy with the broken dick, because.
Sorry.
The guy with the broken dick got sent. Because Korean James Bond's still a nice guy. I mean, even after he breaks your dick, he's going to take you to the hospital and tell you to but also say you have to confess to anything you did. Well, so this guy does confess. He was also a murderer, so I don't feel as bad about his dick getting broken.
I definitely don't feel bad about his broken
because,
dick.
Because, yeah, so now all these cops are sitting around and like, wait, what? This guy's confessed to, he's like, yeah, he confessed to this murder and blah, blah, blah. What's wrong with him? Well, his dick's broken. Somebody broke his dick.
Somebody ran in here broke his dick.
Like, six cops are just sitting there talking about how this guy's dick is broken.
Can you break a dick, Tammy?
With a monkey wrench, can you smash a dick into pieces?
I mean,
you watched the movie twice like we did, so...
There is a bone in the dick, right?
There is no fucking dick bone. What are we, walruses? I don't
know. There's cartilage.
Cartilage.
Sorry. I don't know. I'll ask one of my trauma friends.
Okay.
I'm not a trauma nurse.
The regular police, after, you know, like, after they deliberated about the broken dick guy, they also realized that apparently there is a violent criminal offender who is driving around school children. That's Yang's job. That's Zhang's job. He's fucking driving kids around on a school bus.
So it's not a taxi.
Well, how else are they supposed to get murdered?
No, it's like a school bus.
Are you Googling, can you break a dick?
I said, can you literally break your dick?
And?
AI overview says, yes, a penis can break, which is called a penile fracture. A penile fracture can occur when there is poorly aimed thrusting during sexual intercourse against the partner's pubic bone or perineum.
Ow!
Or if another guy smashes it with a monkey wrench.
Yeah, anything about a monkey wrench in
it. So you can repair it with surgery.
See, what? When you say fracture, I feel like that means a bone.
It involves stitching the tear in the tunica albuginea and the corpus cavernosum. The main goals of treatment are to preserve urinary function and maintain or restore the ability to have erections.
Thank you, Dick Doc.
So he's driving around these kids. The school calls him, and then he just says, fuck it, I've been found out. Oh, there's one kid still on this van. Yep, I'm gonna fuck this kid. That's basically what he does. He takes her up. He ties her up. He's like,
people suck,
he's
man.
Sitting there. He grabs a stalk of he's in this greenhouse. He's got her buried in a pit. He's got this stalk from a plant. He's like rifling up her skirt, looking at her butt. And he's like, damn, girl, you shit with that ass.
Shut up.
You talk about an absolute dump truck of an ass, you turd cutter over here.
Damn, girl.
Is it like white? It's like tight.
Yeah,
it's like white. Yeah.
Damn, girl. Are you Carla Gugino?
You walking around double-cheeked up on a Thursday?
Ew.
Oh, man. If she farts, it just feels so good.
Ew. It's crazy, too, because like crime rates, especially murder, is very low in Asian countries. And they do the most fucked up shit in these movies.
Yeah, but when they do it, they do it well. He's just about to get his jollies off. But, you know, again, this is a movie and natural.
He's about to come.
Natural story progression.
Very close.
Who shows up? Korean James Bond.
Oh, thank God.
They start fighting and Korean James Bond just beats the shit out of him. It's not like your usual like John Wick or like highly stylized choreographed fight. It's just, yeah, Odaisu does his best to fight. But he gets his ass beat.
He's gross.
Well, of course. He's the disgusting serial killer in this movie.
I know,
movie.
But even, like, he's gross in this movie, but even in, like, Old Boy, I feel like he was always really sweaty, too. Like, I feel like this man is just, like, a sweaty, sweaty man.
Yeah, it's pretty hot over there.
It does get really hot in South Korea.
It's winter. It's snow on the ground, though.
In winter, it's
yeah, but that's high Korea.
Cold, but in summer, like, it
you gotta
is
be in low Korea.
Stifling over there.
But in this movie, it's winter.
Yes. I know, but he always looks so sweaty.
Well, it snows in Hawaii, Tammy.
Isn't his
take a look at the topographical
sex pad, as you called it, like a greenhouse? He's growing things inside?
No. Well, they're in a greenhouse right now.
This isn't the fuck pad. This is just a different spot.
And he's not growing weed, Allie. It's not
did
Asian
I say
weed.
He was? Yes, you did.
Did I say he was?
You did last night. Yeah.
Several times.
Because sorry. Also... somehow
I was in my feelings.
It's like it's a Monstera plant.
Somehow Palpatine returns. Korean James Bond also put like a titty tracker on Zhang's bus.
Yeah.
You saw it.
It was a tracker. It looked just like a boob.
Yeah, it was a boob tracker.
Kind of so like a kitchen light.
That's how I think that's how we found out where he was in the greenhouse and was able to stop him from raping and murdering that innocent schoolgirl.
She's still traumatized.
She's definitely not going to be traumatized for the rest of her life, even though she did not get raped, thank goodness. But that poor girl is...
So they fight, and Korean James Bond KOs Young, forces the tracking device down into his tummy. Korean James Bond leaves Young unconscious, but then breaks his wrist also. He's just like... Brr!
Oh, my God.
That's a guerrilla tactic right there.
It's awful.
And then resumes his surveillance, because now he's like, I know you're the guy. I'm going to fucking just hunt you.
This is some detailed...
You're
going to
make your life a living nightmare.
Detailed revenge.
Again, one of my few fun facts. During this shoot, Choi Min-sik, Otaisu, the serial killer, got so into character that he got the idea of beating up a random stranger who talked rudely to him in an elevator, only to realize he turned violent during the shoot and eventually started freaking out. He didn't actually beat someone up. He just wanted to. He felt like he went so method.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, like I said...
Trying to be Jared Leto up in here.
Nah, this guy...
He sent somebody condoms?
Nah, this guy's more like the...
Full of jizz?
He's like the Korean Daniel Day-Lewis, I feel like. But
you were calling him Robert De Niro the other night.
You did call him Robert De Niro.
He is. Well, I mean, because he's a very prominent and famous and works with a lot of, like, yeah, he's like Bobby D.
Is he married to a black woman, too?
Side note, not Bobby D, but did you see how much Al Pacino has to pay to his 28-year-old ex-girlfriend? Didn't work out the relationship, and he had the kid with her.
How much he has to pay per month?
What?
$30,000 a month.
30 G's.
Shockingly, the 28-year-old girlfriend didn't stay with him.
30 G's.
$30,000 a month. I don't think he has that kind of money. I really don't. De Niro, yes. De Niro has the film festival.
$90,000 a quarter.
He's got the restaurants. He's got all that shit.
All right, so...
He does not care.
Okay, well...
Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Of course he doesn't care. He knocked up a 28-year-old when he's 80 years old. He doesn't give a fuck.
Here are diapers for poo-poo.
Ew. Ew.
Boy.
He'd be like, damn, baby, you shit with that great ass!
Shut the fuck up.
Following a crazy, gruesome knife fight in a taxi... In this movie, like, you know, after he got fucked up by Korean James Bond, John gets picked up by a taxi, thinking that, you know, they're just giving him a ride. Turns out it's a couple of other jagoffs that are gonna
it's full of criminals
that are going to try and mug him. He pulls a knife out of his pocket. It's like that urban. Well, no, it's not an urban legend. It's just a joke where it's like, you know, this guy picks up this hitchhiker and he was like, oh man, why'd you get in my car? How did you know if I'm not a serial killer? And he's like, well, what are the odds that both of us are a serial killer?
Oh, so like Something About Mary.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You just said that we were lucky, but turns out you're very unlucky.
Yeah, that's what he says.
And then they have a stare off.
Oh, it's like the Shawshank
Redemption. And then he sticks his knife into the throat of the driver.
Yeah, he's just fya, fya, fya.
And then he's so aggressive.
Prison shank style.
And then he pulls, and then he starts stabbing the guy in the back. And just fya, fya, fya.
Just like that.
I'm loving the sound effect. Fya, fya, fya.
So Young finally goes to get his wrist fixed. He's at the doctor's office. He says he's a soccer soccer player.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh.
Because that's believable.
And the doctor's like, you can't play soccer with your wrists. But he...
Yeah, I love this guy. But this doctor is so
how did you
funny.
Hurt your wrist playing soccer, you big girl?
Yeah.
But you know, he...
You're not playing right.
He patches him up, and of course... There's a lovely young nurse that's there.
Yeah, she's 22. So young.
And...
She doesn't know how to do it.
He's such a creep. Such a creep.
There's this really tense, like, scene where he corners her and tells her to take her shirt off, showing, you know, she's got the bra on.
I don't want to go to Korea just for movies like this. This all sounds just awful.
And he...
Have you heard about India? Okay.
I'm terrified to go there because of those stories.
Have you heard about America?
Yes, but...
He corners...
We're just as bad.
He forces this woman to get down and, you know, about to blow him.
Blowies!
But who shows up?
Andy Dufresne, to tell her that not to blow that dick because she should just tell him about the bite force of a human, you know, teeth. You know, he doesn't want to, like...
Nah, who shows up? Korean James Bond.
Love him.
And he starts to beat the shit out of him again. But this time, he's laying down. He's got his leg up. He takes a knife. He stabs it into the back of his leg.
The Achilles.
Behind the Achilles. You see, in your movie last week, the killer just went...
Sliced it from the outside.
Sliced it from the outside. He put a knife in there and then...
Yep. Oh, right in between the ankle and the tendon. And
oh,
then,
it's like an Evil Dead where they shove the pencil into it.
What's interesting about an Achilles tendon tear is that if you do it fast, it shoots up the leg. So in order to like fix it, the doctor's got to go, he's got to fish that, you know, that contracted tendon all the way back down your leg and then sew it on.
Is that true?
It's not an easy fix.
And then, really? That's true?
Yeah, it shoots right up the leg. It's under tension. Right? And it's a thick tendon.
I am horrified by this.
He tells the nurse that the guy almost raped, hey, you need to stay here. He's going to need medical attention. Korean James Bond wants him patched up again. And then he gets him patched up, throws him in the back of a car in the middle of a parking lot, in the middle of nowhere, and just leaves him and lets him out to, like, where am I? Like, that sort of thing.
So he's definitely in agony.
Yeah.
Wait, now, what kind of car would Korean James Bond drive?
Oh, Kia Stinger.
Dude,
Kia Stinger's a supercharged V6, I believe. That's a badass car.
But meanwhile, you saw what he was like actually driving.
It was a Mercedes SUV.
Yeah, it looked or it looked like some form of a... I thought it looked like a Cadillac, but they just didn't get the licensing for it. Meanwhile, Korean James Bond's father-in-law and sister-in-law, apparently Shu Yun had a sister, they're trying to convince him that, you know, dude, you've done enough. It's not going to bring her back. It's not going to bring back Shu Yun.
Well, revenge never does.
No, that's true. It's like
just makes us feel good.
They're like, please stop.
Revenge only works... It's only worth it when you overmatch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's for the person seeking the revenge. It's not for anybody else.
Right.
So now, while that's happening, Zhang goes and hooks up with an old army buddy who also happens to be a serial killer. But not only a serial killer, he's a fucking avid cannibal.
Yeah, he's just like chewing loudly.
He's just sitting there just chewing up. He's like, hey man, once you have this meat, you ain't going back.
It's very red meat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like attracts like. They can find each other.
He's just sitting there munching, you know. He was like,
munching on some grindage.
He was like, damn, girl, I eat this ass.
Gross.
He ate that whole ass.
He's like, I love this rump. This rump.
You got that Boston butt.
You can't even say ew. You did fresh.
Oh, I did do fresh.
Yes.
Oh, they do eat her butt in that. Yes.
They literally ate her ass. She had the steak farts or steak shits.
That was the Invisible Man.
The only difference between this movie and this guy and Fresh is this guy is like ugly ass Korean dude and not Sebastian Stan.
So. And all of that fresh produce.
Yes,
that was
the cotton candy grapes. Would have loved.
That was properly misted.
Perfect produce section.
So him and Korean Hannibal the Cannibal, they're sitting there while they're eating. Well, I mean, Yang is eating like something else, but while the other guy's like eating his friend Reggie, I don't know. He's just like, who do you think this guy is? He's like, I think it's a family member of one of your fucking victims, and now they're after you, and they ain't gonna stop. So
you said Reggie, and I immediately thought of, that's my pet snake, Reggie, from Indiana Jones.
Like, you fucked up, and this guy is not going to stop. He's just going to keep coming until you are dead.
It's a lot of cum.
Yep.
So, of course, this tranquil meetup / sleepover is ruined.
Meetup.
Is ruined by Korean James Bond showing up again.
He's like, I found you.
He's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got the tracker on him.
And he's got 2 weeks off.
He's got 2 weeks off. He's here to fuck shit up and chew bubblegum, and he's all out of bubblegum.
Yeah. So he mutilates Korean Hannibal the Cannibal while the guy is about to go and carve up another woman because he's like, hey, man. I'm going to have seconds. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make him sound like my Uncle Bruce.
He did a little bit.
It's not like he listens
to anyone. Does he eat human meat?
Nah. I mean, sometimes, you know, it just tastes like pork. What can I say?
That's the other white meat.
Oh, yeah.
Korean Hannibal the Cannibal was just like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do hands, feet, then your head. That's how I'm going to carve you up. And out of nowhere, Korean James Bond shows up and beats the shit out of him. And then he breaks his hand like twice at the wrist, right? Like he goes, and then.
Yeah, just like that.
That's how you get bangles on.
Yeah. And then he takes a screwdriver out of his pocket and stabs his hand with the totally broken off wrist.
Right into the table.
Right into the table. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to carve you up now. Just as he's about to do it, Yang shows up with he shows up with a double barrel shotgun that doesn't need to be reloaded ever.
That's amazing.
It's a magic shotgun.
He wills them in there.
He wills the bullets in there.
Yeah, a lot of shots from this two barrel shotgun.
You counted it in Raiders with the 9 bullets in the six gun. I was like 1, 2, 3. Oh, then he cocks it and injects the shells.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe it's like a Korean gun where you get like extra
with 3 barrels.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
never
know.
We know.
We don't know what they're doing.
We
over
know
there.
Because we had our eyes. We used our eyes and they
we
showed us.
We don't know
that
what they're doing over there in 2012 in South Korea. We have no idea.
Allie, there were 2 fucking barrels in the gun.
I have no idea.
I mean, ahead
of their time.
2 barrels.
I think they were like barrels inside the barrels.
I literally tracked this just from our gun friend over here. That's why I brought that up.
We don't know.
We literally do know.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know.
You see Guido's face. He's
I
like,
know.
What the fuck?
His brain's exploding.
Korean
like that guy's dick.
Korean James Bond escapes from the cannibal house through Kung Fu and Home Alone style booby traps. Yang is chasing him with the never-ending reloading shotgun.
We don't
Epic
know.
Rarity.
And Korean James Bond throws like fish hooks onto the floor. And remember,
oh yeah, that's right.
Jung is barefoot.
It's like that nail.
That should take him out right then and there.
That it nail. Did.
Yeah, it took him out. He fell down, and then you know, Korean James Bond couldn't leave without beating him. Yeah. So he beats the shit out of him with like a metal pole.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna do something, just kept going right, with it. Man.
This is like the exact opposite of Highlander, where like remember how we were
so
amazed?
Good.
Well, no, we were amazed at how fast the police could react in New York City and Highlander.
They were right there.
Meanwhile, the Korean regular police, after this cannibal house escapade happened, the regular police have gotten wise to what's going on here. They're like, oh.
Hate it when that happens.
They're like, oh, shit. So this guy is tracking this guy. Shit, maybe we should talk to someone to try and get this guy to stop. So the...
They are letting him just... do a lot of stuff.
Like Batman.
The active investigating police detective, I guess, like the head detective, he goes to the father-in-law, who, like I said before, was like a precinct captain. And was like, dude, come on, you gotta stop this. You gotta bring
him
in.
And it was his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, even after he beat the shit out of him, Korean James Bond takes Yang to the hospital, and they both get patched up at the same time. While this is happening, James Bond's Q colleague, you know, Korean Q, shows up and lets it slip about how Yang is being tracked, with Yang literally within earshot, but they think he's passed out. But he hears the fact, they're like, yeah, so how's that tracker microphone thing working?
Where is it? In his butt?
It's in his tummy.
His tummy.
Yeah. Or it's in his, it's probably now in his small intestine.
Oh, yeah, because it's only been like a day.
Yeah, they said the only way he's going to get it out is if he plays in his shit.
Doesn't he have to poop?
They were like, the only way he can get it out is if he has like severe diarrhea.
Ew!
He has to
magnesium nitrate that ass.
So Yang gets
magnesium
what?
Citrate,
that's what I meant, sorry.
Yeah, so Yang
is... a douche?
Yang got wise to it. He then decides to do some last-minute colonoscopy prep. He takes all of the...
magnesium citrate.
All of the diuretics that he can use to shit his stuff out. And then he has to sift through 500 yards of shit to find the tracker in the toilet.
Oh, man. Like Shawshank.
I mean, it just looks like chili. Looks like John's chili.
Probably tastes.
As long as it's not the pasta.
Well, there's no beans in his
chili. I didn't have any corn.
Who shit my pants?
I don't remember that. He looked at his shit and he was like, "Damn!" I and then shit he with smells.
He smells his fingers. He rinses them off in the sink and then smells them.
No soap. He just rinses his shitty hands.
Rapes and kills women, and you're stuck on the fact that he smells his shit fingers.
Allie,
that
was, Jesus Christ. Yeah, because I wash my hands before I touch my dick.
No, okay? this actor added that in there.
Oh, he probably did. Yeah.
He's like, this guy is a disgusting, filthy prick. Disgusting foul man. I'm just gonna rinse my little fingers off and smell them because that's the kind of character I'm playing.
His method acting, he probably actually did it in his house and was like, how would he do it? I'm gonna touch a bunch of my shit.
No, that was his that was his poop. So that was his shit.
What happened was
scatological is anything poopy.
Yeah, this was
scatological is anything poopy.
This was one of my fun facts. He just watched The Faculty. And he heard about scat.
The scackle-ty?
And he was just like, ooh.
Matt always says he thinks I have a poopy butt because of my long nails. And he doesn't think I can wipe properly. Wiley says this about Nora, too. He's like, Nora probably can't wipe properly. I'm like, well, I'm sure she can, but that's
fine. You ever try to use a TV remote? She's got that one finger bent back. You know what I mean? It's just...
So after Yang, like, sits there and sniffs his poop fingers...
Ew!
He's
so gross.
Ew! He sounds like Dennis.
He tasted it.
He sounds like Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet. He's like,
"Mommy."
He sounds like Tammy, like breathing into the microphone.
He sounds like
that's her with her poop fingers.
Oh, he had a nose whistle after the smell because he got poop up his nose.
You're so embarrassing.
Oh no.
But now Yang, he's free of the tracker. And what is he going to do? He goes off on this whole tirade, like saying, like, I'm going to fuck with you now. You should have fucking done this and blah, blah. He decides he's going to call the regular police and say he's going to turn himself in. But he's got to do something first. He doesn't tell them what he's got to do. But he's got to do something.
You didn't say that he shoves that poop tracker down that pharmacist.
Oh, that's
with the
right.
Poop hand.
That's right.
With the poop hand.
I'm sorry.
With the poop hand.
He sniffed his poo fingers, and then he puts the tracker in some other rando that just walked into the bathroom. He didn't do it to the pharmacy guy. He stabbed the pharmacy
guy. Yeah, the pharmacy guy.
So
his poo fingers.
He clawed it like his pickle jar. He shoved that thing in there.
Like a pickle jar.
Pickle jar clawed it into his mouth.
He has to, yeah. He says he's going to turn himself in, but he's got to do something else. The thing that he's got to do is he's got to go over to the father-in-law's house, make him smell his poop fingers, and then beat the shit out of him. He also kidnaps the sister-in-law.
God.
And
I hate this man.
And he murders her. And wraps her up in a blanket.
Oh, he rapes her first.
So now this man has lost both
of his
daughters.
And he leaves her on the street. See, yeah,
I mean. There's not enough revenge here. There isn't now. At this point, there isn't anything you can do to this man for enough revenge.
To be fair, if I was the dad, I would now be mad more at the fucking fiance because now I've lost a second daughter because you're taking your good goddamn time to kill poo fingers over here.
Well, you see the reason why.
So you don't play with your food.
I mean, there's a method to his madness on trying to hunt this guy down.
I know, but now this guy has lost both of his daughters.
Well, you see, it's also...
It's more of a method to his sadness, if you think about it.
But when you think about it, it's also Earth is in the tailwind of a comet right now.
And
it's
totally...
It's an asteroid. It's a little tiny asteroid.
Oh, so that gun...
It reloaded itself because it was a gun that was overtaken by the comet.
The machines.
From Maximum Overdrive.
So scary.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the little asteroid that's in our orbit.
I still have nightmares about it.
This is the scariest movie I've ever seen.
They will be replaced by poo fingers, but I still have nightmares about it.
I mean, it's extremely scary.
So scary.
I can't believe we made it.
You know, now that he beat the shit out of the father-in-law and killed the sister-in-law, he's going to go and turn himself in. But he's going to be like, smell my finger. But I love Korea. Korea's great. They're our favorite Korea.
You sound like Donald Trump. I love Korea.
Korea
is great.
It's one of the greatest places.
My
people, they tell me all the time.
This is my favorite Korea.
No, if I were Donald Trump, I'd be talking about North Korea.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's very true.
North Korea, their people, so small.
South Korea is a loser.
South Korea is a loser.
It's why they're south, because they're lower.
They're lower, slower. Lower, slower Korea. So now Korean James Bond has decided that he no longer, he's fully embraced the fact that he is not a good man.
Unhinged?
Anymore. He's just as unhinged as Jiang. And he kidnaps Jiang just as Jiang is about to turn himself into the regular police in a badass, like, chasing. He was driving his car. He backs it up into a wall to knock the driver's side door off. And then he does the whole, like, spin.
What'd you do?
With the car.
Sorry.
And grabs him and pulls him into the car. We now come back full circle. We're back at Yang's murder fuck shack. Korean James Bond has Jiang tied up and placed under his own guillotine. Now Jiang starts pleading for his life, saying, I'm sorry for what I did, blah, 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 blah. Pretends to be a victim. And then Korean James Bond is like, well, oh, so now you're scared? Now you're scared, you know what you did and all this blah, blah, blah. And it's like, Jiang just is like, what? What the fuck are you gonna do to me?
Yeah, he's not a good person.
You can't do anything to me that I've already haven't done to you. You've already lost. You can't take anything away from me. You can't make me beg for anything. I'm not going to. Fuck you.
I took that as, oh, that's the devil we see.
Yeah.
Because he turned, it was a stark contrast between pleading for his life to stop fucking with me, asshole.
And just get
let's,
it over.
If let's do this.
Do it,
you want to kill me? Kill me. But you get nothing from me. Blood from a stone.
So Korean James Bond leaves him there under the guillotine, puts a little bit in his mouth, and sets up a rope pulley system, you know, Kevin McAllister style, and has rigged it to come down if anyone opens the door. Unbeknownst to Jiang, Korean James Bond, and I'm sorry, I didn't talk about this earlier, but part of his, like, investigation when he finds out that Jiang is the guy that killed his fiance, he goes and he meets with Jiang's parents. And
right.
Also, they're good people.
And also, Jiang has a son. Oh, no, they're pieces of shit. Remember, they're all just like...
Everyone's a piece of shit in this movie. This movie has, like, very few redeemable people.
Yeah, they're very loving parents.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, he sucks. So, if he's dead and he gets insurance money, can we have it?
Well, their son sucks, so mm-hmm. The fuck cares? Yeah.
Korean James Bond called Jiang's parents and son and told them to come up to the murder fuck shack. They're walking around. They're like, oh, I hear Jiang, what are you doing? And he's like, don't come in here. Don't come in.
We heard you had finger sandwiches in there.
He's like, don't come in here. Don't.
And he can't really talk because the thing's in his mouth.
Yeah, you got your finger. Like, don't come in here. And they're like, okay. Wait. They're like saying, wait, come in here? And you're like, no, don't come in here. They open the door and boom, chops his head off.
Thank goodness.
Yes. We have a lot of decapitation.
Jiang gets to do his best French aristo impersonation.
What's that?
A French aristo under Madame Guillotine.
Oh.
Viva Libertad.
Oh, cool.
Decapitation. No breathing.
And then, of course, his parents and son go and smell his fingers.
Ew!
They said they smelled like poop.
I'm sure they do.
They were licking them like they had Cheetos dust on them.
Yeah.
So the film ends with...
Cheese doodle dust.
One hand, cheese doodles.
Other pickle jar fingers.
The film ends now with Korean James Bond walking down the middle of a highway. He breaks down and starts crying.
Yeah, and that's how it ends. Like, he just cries for about 8 minutes.
This emotional scene is being ruined by my co-hosts that are all doing poop finger dippings.
Do the parents and the kid not die?
No, they don't die.
No, but they're scarred for life.
There's a second guillotine.
Again, you know, few more fun facts.
Ooh.
This movie marked Choi Min-sik, Odaisu's first major acting role since his self-imposed exile over his protest of the Korean screen quota system. I guess there was something with film, like the how films are made over there. He didn't like it, so he pulled himself out of it and didn't act for a while. But also, this movie was heavily scrutinized by the Korea Media Rating Board. They forced the director Kim Ji-won to recut the film multiple times, objecting to its violent content. Otherwise, the film would have gotten a restricted rating, preventing any sort of release in theaters or in home video. Like this, I guess this they consider this like a snuff movie, and he couldn't release it.
Well, I mean, it's
the international cut did away with a lot of sequences, and the director regarded unnecessary and added all the scenes banned by the Korean board for international release. And final fun fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger was so impressed with this film, he insisted on working with the director on his movie, The Last Stand.
Is that that zombie one?
No, it's like a sheriff, like the cartels are like running through this town, and it's like up to him to try and stop them from, I don't know.
It's
I,
not the best.
Let's go around the room, we'll do a pass-fail. I'm going to start with Allie.
I pass it. It's really aggressive. I love a violent movie. I think it's really well done. It's jarring and, you know, scary for women.
Scary. So scary. Very
scary. It's really, really well done. So I'll definitely pass it. Yeah, it's definitely a revenge movie. Absolutely.
Tim.
I'm going to pass this movie also. It was really entertaining and violent. I always think that these foreign films are too long, but...
What are you talking about? The last foreign film we did was one of the shortest ones we've ever watched.
Hold on. Actions speak louder than words. She fell asleep the first time. We watched this twice.
This one actually moves pretty well.
Well,
I was just... Yeah. No, I was going with Suspiria, saying how
Suspiria
short
Suspiria is... well, that's true. I forgot. I was thinking about, like, the last Indian film we watched.
Oh, RRR?
No, it was something else. It's always like 3.5 hours you have to dedicate. It's just a long time. This is 2.5 hours.
You guys were watching that one time. It's fine. Keep going.
So anyway, I just thought it was long.
Great.
So
yeah.
I pass it a lot. I really liked all the blood and gore and the graphic murder scenes. Not too hot about all the rape.
Yeah, it was rough.
But the murder was nice. The revenge is nice. I would just like to say I feel like it was just a little bit uneven in terms of the score at the end. You know what I mean? I don't think the good guy really came out on top there. But
but that's also
he did not tit the tat. There were tits left untatted. Okay, or tats left untitted, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, it's that thing where it's just like that age-old thing. It's like,
if anything, you've created more revenge.
Is it best served cold?
Well, it's just a slippery slope, and you end up being no better than the person that you're trying to enact revenge against.
I hear you. However,
See,
if the killer didn't have an opportunity to go back and murder his wife's sister... Then it would have been, you know, a little bit more even,
mm-hmm.
right? And by even, I mean revenge should come out with the revenge-er needs to be, like, plus one or two over the revengee. That's how that's supposed to work. They're not supposed to be even, okay? Yeah, dude, I pass it. Nice pick, buddy, for real.
It is a good pick.
Yeah, nice.
Very good.
Let's keep our cycle of vengeance going here. Tammy... Quid pro quo.
All right. My movie was released in 1997.
Yes.
It is about four young friends bound by a tragic accident are reunited.
No, we just watched Urban
Legend.
Stop.
They find themselves being stalked by a hook-wielding maniac in their small seaside town. It stars Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Anne Hetch, Ryan Phillippe, Freddie Prinze Jr. We're going to be watching I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Fine.
This is a three-named actor movie.
I'm only watching it for Freddie Prinze Jr.
And where can we watch?
I love him in Star Wars Rebels.
So you can watch it streaming for free on AMC Plus.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll need to rent or buy it on Amazon.
Also read the video. Book.
Yes,
I
do have the book. I think it's at my parents' house, though.
I read it.
It's a graphic
novel. It's like
novel.
A short story.
Yeah. It's definitely a teen book, too.
It's a teen book, definitely.
Jack Black isn't in this one.
This
right?
is That's the second one.
That's the second one.
With Brandy and Mekhi Pfeiffer.
I wish he did this.
I do like that one also. It's a good one.
It's not bad.
They're on vacation.
Jennifer Esposito is in it as well.
Which
and the
I
guy
love.
From the guy that Kyle has tattooed on him.
Reanimator?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Or Simon
Jeffrey
Pegg.
Combs. Jeffrey Combs.
Johnny Galecki is in it too.
Okay, great. Well, so I Know What You Did Last Summer for next week. We are at
I did nothing last
summer. we went to Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still thinking of last summer as the summer the year ago.
Oh. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our website or via social media, and please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Smell the poop fingers.
Ew.
Bye. Gross.
Bye.